New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has been talking a lot more about God lately. It's a big change, New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz reports, that will play well on the presidential campaign trail.
In the beginning, Christie's Catholicism was a personal affair. Like when he was famously asked why he sends his four kids to Catholic school instead of the public schools he oversees as governor.
Gail, you know what? First off, it's none of your business. I don't ask you where you send your kids to school. Don't bother me about where I send mine.
Or in 2011, when he was asked if he believed in evolution.
That's none of your business. That's my personal view. None of your business.
But what was once personal has become political. Presidential candidates are expected to talk about faith, and that's exactly what Christie has begun to do. He has found ways to speak about it with both religious conservatives and urban minorities when pushing his top issue of the day, drug treatment initiatives. The language he uses is spiritual and redemptive.
There but for the grace of God go I. And that's the way I look at people with addiction. There but for the grace of God go I.
He also spoke of God after a visit to a drug treatment program for women in Trenton.
Every life is an individual gift from God. And no one is beyond redemption.
And then again, before the New Jersey chapter of the NAACP.
I don't think second chances are the domain of just Democrats or Republicans. Because from my perspective, we have sinners and wrongdoers plenty in both parties. All of them want a second chance.
A second chance is an apt message for this governor, who has spent the year answering questions about the Bridgegate scandal. And his new focus has a likelihood of registering with socially conservative Republicans in the presidential primaries. To those audiences, he talks about being pro-life throughout life, from the womb all the way to adulthood, when drug offenders should be given a second chance. I asked Republicans in South Carolina, a religious state with a crucial early role in the primaries, what they expected from Christie when it comes to God. They said he doesn't need to preach from the lectern. Folks like Cindy Costa, South Carolina Republican National Committee woman, say they just want him to be comfortable using spiritual language.
I think that he should embrace that part of his life because people like to hear about that, and it gives them a comfort to know that somebody lives a life that is for a purpose that's greater than themselves.
South Carolina Republicans say they just want a Christian in the Oval Office. Doesn't matter what church that person attends. They pointed out that America has changed a lot since the election of its first Catholic president.
I believe in an America that is officially neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish.
Like John F. Kennedy, Christie does not use his Catholicism to justify policy decisions. He became pro-life, he says, after seeing a sonogram of his daughter's heart beating in utero, not because his priest told him to be. And he has rejected Planned Parenthood funding every year for fiscal reasons, he says, not religious ones. Kennedy is a role model for Christie. His Catholic grandmother in Newark first exposed him to the president's words. Lately, Christie has been telling a story about his grandmother, about what happened after he prayed to get a good grade in school.
So I went to my grandmother's apartment that weekend, and I said, I'm not praying anymore. She said, what do you mean you're praying anymore? And I said, I prayed. I don't want to tell you what I prayed for. I prayed, and God didn't answer my prayers. And she said, oh, no, no, Chris, you're wrong. I said, well, she goes, God always answers your prayers, but sometimes the answer is no.
Catholicism remained a steady presence in Christie's life as he grew up. He married Mary Pat Foster, who was raised in a large Catholic family outside of Philadelphia. The Christies say grace before family dinners. And for years, Mary Pat taught Sunday school at their church, St. Joseph's, in Mendham. The governor used to come here often, although less so these days, parishioners say, given his travel schedule as he prepares for a possible White House run. I visited the Simple Sanctuary on a recent Sunday morning, where the virtually all-white crowd arrives, casually dressed in jeans.
September is Hunger Action Month, and so...
In his homily, the priest reads a parable about laborers who earn an equal salary, regardless of how many hours they worked. Jim Bradley, longtime parishioner here, said caring for the poor is part of the ethos of the church. He described the Christies as active parishioners. But that's changed a bit since the Sunday after Christie's election in 2009. That was the day the governor-elect first showed up with state troopers, who also took communion.
You don't see him as much on Sunday here because he's away on the weekends a lot. You'll see Mary Pat and the family here a lot of times. You just see him every so often.
On the day I visit, Christie's not here. On this particular Sunday, he's here. A half hour from St. Joseph's and a full world away from Mendham sits New Hope Baptist Church in Newark. The faithful dance in the aisles and run up to fan choir singers as sweat rolls down their faces. Despite the warmth of the room, everyone is dressed up. Just three men in the pews at New Hope today are white. Me, an enthusiastic ex-gang member sitting next to me, and the governor of New Jersey. He's clapping. His hands are in the air, palms facing the pastor, and at one point he hugs the mother of Whitney Houston, who once sang here on Sunday mornings. On this day, Christy spends 3 hours at New Hope Baptist, alone except for his security detail. The pastor, Joe Carter, has become Christy's partner in the drug policy reform efforts. Carter praises a real-world God, a God who can provide salvation to ex-offenders and hard-luck inner-city residents who fill his pews. Christy didn't speak to us for the story, so it's hard to know exactly how much his time at the Baptist Church and his upbringing in the Catholic Church have affected his view of God. But there's one place where we know Christy regularly connects with a higher being. Bruce Springsteen shows. In 2012, the New York Post claimed that Christy fell asleep at a Springsteen concert. Christy loves Springsteen, so at the time, I asked him what happened.
What happened was during Rocky Ground, which is like kind of a really spiritual song. People sat. So I sat up on the seat and I put my head back and closed my eyes and listened to the song.
This song has exactly the kind of redemptive message that Christy is now so publicly evoking. It speaks not only to those struggling with addiction to drugs, but to a man facing the near impossible task of becoming president of the United States.
Rise up, shepherd, rise up. Your flock is roaming far from the hill. Stars have faded, the sky is still. The angels are shouting, glory, hallelujah.
For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.
40 days and nights of rain washed this land. Jesus said the money changers in this temple will not stand. Find your flock, get them to higher ground. Flood waters rising in Canaan bound. Judge.